loser's limp. How many of you are familiar with that term? Not one person familiar with the term loser's limp? Loser's limp is what happens when in a sport event, and boy, how did we get all the way up there? Sporting event or something, the loser all of a sudden starts limping. So that's the reason I didn't win is because of this. It's excuse making. And in this, it's called the loser's limp. When they get almost to the finish line, they say they're not going to win, and so all of a sudden they start limping and say, well, something happened to my ankle and I can't run anymore. So that's the reason I lost. Can't believe nobody was familiar with that term. I seriously doubt that you or I will be able to stand before the Lord on judgment day and say, but my wife made me do it, as Adam did. Or, I did what I did because of my repressive childhood. We won't be able to blame the church, the school, the society, the government, or anybody else. And that tendency is there for us to want to blame someone else and make excuses for why we're not doing what God wants us to do. And so it's very important for us to understand that. It's not my fault. It began with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, 11 through 13. It's just read, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And as someone said, and then Satan didn't have a leg to stand on. And so making excuses, it's not my fault because I made the wrong choice. And so we have to understand that it is our choice. Pete Hamill wrote an excellent article in October 1991 issue of Reader's Digest, which he called It's Not My Fault. In it, he referred to what he called victimism in America. And if you're like I am, you've been around since 1991, you know that victimism is getting much worse and lack of responsibility for what an individual does is getting much worse. The idea that wrong behavior is not one's own responsibility, but is rather the fault of someone else. Listen as I read a portion taken from Hamill's article. Many people today live their lives under the never-questioned assumption that if they have problems, there must be someone else who is to blame. When questioned about some otherwise unacceptable behavior, it is always the fault of the justice system or the school system or the government or their family or their parents, their spouses. Always it is someone else who is to blame. Surely it isn't them. And I shared with you once Claire's uncle, who's a very blunt man, and one of Claire's sisters was talking about all of her problems in her life was because of her parents and the way she was raised and all this. And he sat there and listened to that for a while and finally piped up and said, you know, if you're smart enough to figure that out, you're smart enough to stop it. And so, we want to blame other people for our situation in life, when in reality it's choices that we make. Such victimism, Hamill writes, implies that nobody is personally responsible for living a life. The defeats, the disappointments, and failures once thought to be a part of each human being's portion on this earth are now always the fault of somebody else. I dropped out of high school and I can't get a job. It's not my fault. I'll go on welfare, start stealing cars. I started taking drugs as a teenager and now I can't remember things. It's not my fault. I deserve special medical treatment. I got married on a whim and now I can't stand this person I'm with. It's not my fault. I'll get a divorce. In a ghetto, a woman points to a hole in the wall in her apartment, put there by her boyfriend in a fit of anger. Why doesn't the landlord fix that? Why doesn't she fix it herself? Shifting the blame to anyone but me, it's as old as the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve ate of the tree, God said in effect, what's going on here? And Adam said, the woman made me do it. It wasn't my fault. Eve said, the serpent made me do it. It wasn't my fault. Blame shifting, refusing to take responsibility for our actions. Zig Ziglar calls what I'm talking about the loser's limp in his book, See You at the Top. Football player chasing the runner toward the end zone pulls up, loser's limp. I can't catch him, and so I'm going to pretend I've got a limp, a problem. Many start to believe their own excuses. So I want to point out three areas of life where blame-shifting victims lose. It's not to your benefit to shift the blame on someone else. First of all, they lose in society. A rapist says, well, I can't stop. I've got too much libido. Killers can't get rid of the rage that's driving them. Kleptomaniacs can't stop stealing. Smokers sue tobacco companies for their choices. And of course, all of these are things that individuals make a choice to do. School shootings blame society, police, parents, teachers, and social workers. Society rejects those who blame others for their mistakes. So they lose in society. Most people do not accept excuses for your doing those things that are wrong, whether it's wrong in society or wrong in the sight of God. We recognize that you made the choice. It's your decision, and society does not respect those who want to pass the blame onto other people. Those who shun personal responsibility lose in their society. And while those who are making the excuses may think that it sounds good and that people are buying it, usually people don't buy it. Nobody forces you to turn that bottle up. Nobody forces you to shoot that needle into your arm. Nobody forces you to eat that dozen donuts. Whatever it may be, we can't blame someone else. We make those choices that determine our destiny and what's going to happen to us in this life and in the future life. But blame shifters lose in society. They're not fooling people. People know, no, it's not somebody else's fault. It's your fault. I think I mentioned once about the man who kept saying, I wish I didn't drink. I wish I didn't drink. I wish I didn't drink. And someone finally told him, said, wishing won't make that happen. Said, you got to do the opposite of what you did to start drinking. You got to stop turning that bottle up. And so we need to realize that blame shifters, those who won't accept responsibility in their life, lose in society. And they're not fooling anyone in society. They also lose in their personal relationships. The 60s folk song by Anna Russell, as quoted by Jay Adams in Competent Counsel, characterizes what it is often like to go to a counselor. I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed, to find out why I killed the cat and blackened my husband's eyes. He laid me on a downy couch to see what he could find, and here is what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in a trunk, and so it follows naturally that I'm always drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that's why I suffer now from kleptomania. At three, I had the feelings of ambivalence toward my brothers, and so it follows naturally. I poison all my lovers. But I'm happy now that I learned the lesson this has taught, that everything I do that's wrong is someone else's fault. I think we need to honestly look at our lives and see if that's not a lot of what we do sometimes. Blame others for our problems rather than just accepting the fact we made the wrong choices in life, we did things that were contrary to the will of God, and things that destroyed our relationship. I admire someone who I've noticed recently a couple of times where movie stars or singing stars have said that their divorce was their fault, that they failed in their marriage. I respect someone who's willing to admit that. Rather than point the blame, I hate to see this back and forth. Well, she did this, he did that, she did this, he did that. Shifting blame. No one's fault. Nobody wants to accept responsibility. But someone is responsible. And we have to honestly look at ourselves and accept that fact that we can lose in our personal relationships if we don't accept responsibility for our actions. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." So here's the lazy man. The neighbors see him not plowing his fields, not taking care of his crops, and he doesn't harvest anything. And so he's coming over to them then to borrow something. They're not going to like him coming. They don't want to see him coming anymore because they know that he didn't do his job, and now he's wanting to eat off of their table. And so we lose in our personal relationships when we don't accept responsibility. Proverbs 26, 13 through 16. The lazy man says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." They don't realize that everybody sees through their excuses. And they think everybody's buying it. So I just keep making excuses for why I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But we lose in our personal relationships. And that's the reason many times we have divorces, because people have failed to accept responsibility for their actions. That's the reason many times children become delinquent, because they won't accept responsibility for their actions. They want to blame other people for the things they're doing. They're wise in their own eyes. They don't understand why people don't like them. And yet, it's so very true. When you have problems in almost every relationship you have, the problem may not be them. It may be you. And so we need to honestly look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I taking responsibility for my actions? Alcoholics, child abuse, homosexual, thieves, murderers, fornication, divorce. When we blame those around us for our failures, it destroys those relationships. But if we're willing to admit that we've got a problem, we need help, then we can overcome those problems and restore those relationships perhaps. The first step in change is accepting responsibility for your actions, or to put it another way, admitting you have a problem that you need to deal with. That's the first step, and you have to be willing to take that first step to change and accept responsibility for your actions. Shifting blame makes us losers in our society. It also makes us losers in our personal lives. But it also makes us losers with God. And that's perhaps the most important thing. Those who shift blame lose with God. If you want to be pleasing to God, you're not going to do it by trying to shift blame. Didn't work with Adam and Eve. It won't work with us today. It hasn't worked with anyone down through the years. Salvation demands repentance. I must admit that I'm a sinner, that I have made poor choices in my life, that have done those things that are contrary to the will of God. And until I'm willing to repent of my sins, there's no hope for forgiveness of those sins. Cannot blame others on Judgment Day. Parents, spouse, preachers, society, government, schools, neighborhoods, doesn't matter. We're going to have to answer for the way we lived our lives, the choices we made on this earth while we were on this earth. That's the basis of judgment. And we can't say, somebody else, you know, opened my mouth and poured that alcohol down my throat and I couldn't help it. When we make that choice to go out and buy the alcohol or buy the drugs or do anything that's contrary to the will of God, it's our choice. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators," that's people who are having sexual relationship outside of God's ordained marriage, "fornicators, nor idolaters, those who put something between them and God, something more important than God, which can include money and things, nor adulterers, people in a marriage or relationship that have a sexual relationship with someone else, nor homosexuals, sex between the same sexes, nor sodomites, which is basically the same as homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. God makes it very clear that if we do those things, we can't blame somebody else and it's going to work. We are responsible for our own actions. And notice what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And all of that started with believing in God, repenting of your sins, changing your attitude, and recognizing that what I'm doing is wrong and I need to change it. And that I can't make excuses anymore for what I'm doing. It's wrong and I need to accept it. And so, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. And that's so important for us to understand. We also need to understand that there's a way of escape. God always makes a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I have never heard anyone say that I was tempted to the point that I just couldn't resist, that there was no way out of it. I had to give in to that temptation. We all recognize that there was a way of escape. We just didn't want to take it. We had rather do and follow that temptation than to do what was right at that point in time. And so the way of escape is always there. God always provides that way of escape. And it's up to us whether or not we take that way of escape or not. We will stand before God in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Judgment is always based on our lives here on this earth and how we live them. Excuses won't work on judgment day. God knows all. And I don't know if there will even be a person able to speak any objection to the judgment of God. But I know if you do, those excuses that you can make won't hold water. And that God is not going to accept excuses for your sin. If we sin, we must repent. We must confess that. We must have our sins washed away in baptism. And then if, as Christians, we sin again, we need to repent and confess that to have the forgiveness where we can be confident in the day of judgment as we stand before God. Grace, yes, but grace is on the basis of confession and repentance. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 10. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So here's Paul, Saul at the time, who was persecuting the church, putting Christians to death. And yet, the grace of God is with him. Notice verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. It was not empty and useless. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Understanding the grace of God causes us to obey his will. That if we're going to rely on the grace of God, we're going to have to be obedient to his will. Because any other type of grace is empty and useless. God will not accept excuses for why we sin. We must remain faithful, Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Faithfulness means that we're doing what God told us to do. And when we fail, we repent and confess. And we accept the fact that we violated the will of God. We don't make excuses for it. We simply accept the fact that we made the wrong choice, did the wrong thing, and we're sorry that we did that. It's godly sorrow that causes us to repent of our sins. And so those who shift blame lose with God. So what about you in your life? Do you have the loser's limp? Do you want to blame someone else or something else for you not winning the race? See, we're in a race, the Christian race. The difference is anyone who crosses that finish line is a winner. Kind of like they say with marathons, even that last person that crosses that line well after dark is a winner because they finished the race. And so the race, the Christian race that we're in, is a matter of finishing the course. And we may not be the best Christian that's ever lived, but if we're repenting of our sins and our shortcomings and confessing those, then we're all equal in the sight of God. That's what God's grace does. It makes us equal in His sight. So are you a blame shifter? Do you blame other people for why you do the things you do in your life today that are contrary to the will of God? Or do you simply accept the fact, this is wrong in the sight of God. I did it. I chose to do it. I'm sorry for it, and I want to change. Are you an excuse maker? Well, yeah, I did that, but it was because, you see, in reality, what Adam did was blame God for his problem. You notice that? The woman you gave me, God, you're the one who gave her to me. So it's really your fault, God. Because you gave me that woman. And so excuse making does not work with God. And so we need to stop making excuses. Simply accept the fact, I'm where I am. I'm wrong in the sight of God. I need to make changes in my life that'll make it right. And then make that effort that is needed on our part. So what are your reasons for not accepting responsibility for your actions in this life? When are you going to stop it and start accepting those responsibilities for where you are? Things can never get better until you do. So if you're not a Christian, you're still guilty for all of those violations of the will of God that you've ever made in your life. Everything that you've ever done, every lie, every theft, every bad word that you've spoken, anything that's contrary to the will of God, you're still responsible for those. And God's going to hold you accountable. But He made a way for you to get rid of those sins. If you're willing to repent of your sin, acknowledge your sinfulness, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be buried with Him in baptism, all of those past sins of your life be wiped out. God will never bring those up again. You don't have to worry about those past sins. All you got to worry about now is if I sin after my sins have been washed away in baptism. Those are gone. But I'm still going to be held accountable for the way I'm going to live my life after my baptism. And so if I sin, I need to repent and confess that. And the blood of Jesus and my honest confession will cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so it's up to us. God has made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. But we can't blame others. We've got to accept the responsibility ourselves and be willing to do what's necessary to get our lives right with God. And if we can help you to do that this morning, we'd love to. As we stand and sing, if you'd like to come, please do.